Our theme is taken from Ephesians chapter 3:17. Ephesians 3:17. I will read it in MPC. It says, "May Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your heart. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love." Say, may Christ through your faith. He's already in you if you're born again. But he wants you to know that he is there. He wants you to settle, to have that, you know, settled assurance in your heart that he's really there in you. That wherever you find yourself, that he's there in you. You see, whatever we need for life and godliness, the Bible said that God has already made that available to us. If you read 2 Peter 1, 2 to 4, all that we need for life and godliness, God has already made available that to us. Whether you know it or you don't know it, it's already ours by fact of the fact that we belong to Jesus. The only thing is that we have to receive it by faith. It's just like salvation is made available to the whole world. But those of us who have chosen that way, have chosen to make Jesus the Lord over our lives, we have received that salvation. But there are still all those that are there that have not received. Yet the Bible said it's not the will of God that any man should perish. That salvation is also for them, because the Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He gave, Jesus died for the whole world. But until you make it your own, until you appropriate it for yourself, that's when it becomes yours. And how do you appropriate it? By faith. Until you receive it. So everything that we need for life and godliness has already been made available to us. Then we have to receive it by faith. Amen? John 1:16 and 17 says in Amplified, he said, "For out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all, as many as are born again, we have all received grace upon grace." What is that grace? Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. And it is the spirit that controls the natural. The things that are seen are made by the unseen. It is the spirit that dictates what happens in the natural. So he said, we have all, not some of us, if you are born again, you too, you have received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gifts, gifts upon gifts. That's what is yours, whether you know it or not. That's why I say that the primary thing is for you really to begin to experience these things in practical terms, and not just it become what is in the world or become a head knowledge. Amen? And then verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace, the unearned, undeserved favor of God, and truth came through Jesus Christ." Grace, undeserved, unearned favor. It's undeserved because we don't deserve it. Because the Bible says, "All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." Unearned, undeserved favor of God. That's grace. The grace of God offered to us what we don't deserve because of sin. And the mercies of God, that's why we say it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion they fail not. The mercies of God remove from us what we deserve, which is punishment, death, sickness, and whatever. So we receive this grace upon grace. And it all came by who? It all came by who? By Jesus Christ. That's why he said that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It all came by Jesus Christ. So God blesses us either through keeping the law, and if you have to keep the law, you have to keep the whole of it. And nobody has been able to keep the whole law. Or have you? I have not. Is it that you receive the blessings through the law, or you receive through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, can you quickly turn to it in New King James Version? Deuteronomy 28. Let's just flip through a few verses there. Deuteronomy 28. From verse 1. Do you have it? Okay, so he says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you. I love the amen, yes. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Continue. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to give your fathers. Verse 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in each season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments. Is this some of his commandments? No. All his commandments. He said, and statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and observe and overtake you. Amen. If you begin to read from verse 16, you begin to read all the curses. But to God be the glory, that God loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. And Jesus Christ came, and because he kept perfectly all the commandments, the blessings are still our portion, as many as have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, as many as have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So where it says, if you shall keep diligently, Jesus kept diligently, and therefore all those blessings became ours, and it is still ours. The only thing is, are you experiencing it practically? That's another thing. Amen? So you receive blessings by performance of the law, if you're able to keep not some of the law, but all the law. But God saw that we could not, and so he sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, to adopt us as his children, so that as many as will put their faith in him will now receive these blessings and no cost. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3 to 6. Ephesians 1, 3 to 6. From verse 3. Let's look at from verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done what? Blessed us with every word, spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where? In Christ. So it's only in Christ that those blessings that we saw listed in Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 to 14 becomes our portion. Only in Christ. And then verse 5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It pleased him to do so. Having predestined us, God adopted us into his family. My father-in-law adopted two children, and they were answering our last name. And when my father-in-law was dying, he made a will and covered them. So the young girl is my sister-in-law, and the young man is my brother-in-law. And he's the one that runs errands for us in Nigeria, the young guy. And the girl is with her family in London. God adopted us so that we could now call him father. When I joined that family, I heard the papa, mama, you know. I didn't even know any difference. It took some years before they explained to me what happened. So God brought us into the family, and all that is in the family, they were all part of it. In the same manner, everything that is in the house of God, by virtue of the fact that we've been adopted, they all automatically became ours. Amen? Verse 5 says that, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his. So remember, our goal is for you to experientially enjoy all that Jesus Christ died to give you. Not just for it to become a head knowledge. And it is understanding that it enables you to do that. Amen? Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He made us accepted in the beloved. Who is his beloved? Who is his beloved? Jesus Christ is his beloved. We've been accepted in the beloved. So because we are in Christ, and Christ is his beloved son in whom he is well pleased, the same love with which he loved Jesus automatically came upon us because we are in Christ. And so we now became his beloved because we are in Christ. So that's why these blessings are ours in Christ, not outside of Christ, in Christ. So when you understand that you are in Christ, all those blessings are yours because you are in Christ. And where is Christ? In you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if Christ is in you, then all those blessings are yours. In verse 7 it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of sin is not according to our performance, is it? It is according to the riches of his grace. You must understand this thing so that when you stand to ask God for anything, you can stand boldly. So that you'll be able to know what is your right. I mean, if you know your house and somebody is trying to drive you past your house, you say, no, stop me here. This is my house. So you need to understand that it is according to the riches of his grace, not according to your performance, so that you don't ever start looking at your performance. You simply perform well because you love him. Not that you perform for you to be accepted by him. Or maybe for your prayers to be answered. No. Because you already accepted in the beloved. Why? Simply because you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So verse 8 says, which he meant to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. He made this, he lavished this on us. He lavished this love on us. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, in AMPC, Galatians 3, 13 and 14, it says, Christ did what? Purchased our freedom. Christ bought our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, the doom of the law, and its condemnation. He redeemed us from the doom of the law, from its condemnation, the condemnation that comes from the law. Christ redeemed us from that by himself, becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, is crucified. Anyone that hangs on a tree, those years, they were considered as cursed people. And Jesus Christ was hung on a tree simply for us. So he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Verse 14 says, to the end that through their receiving Jesus Christ, how will this freedom become theirs? Through their receiving Jesus Christ. In verse 14, to the end that through their receiving Jesus Christ, the blessings promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. And who are the Gentiles? You and I. Might come upon the Gentiles so that we, through faith, remember what I said? That everything that we need for life and godliness has already been made available to us by grace But we have to receive it by faith. That we, through faith, might all receive the realization, the practical experience of those things. Might receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit. The realization of all those blessings that God has bestowed upon us. It becomes a reality when you begin to appropriate it by faith, just as you appropriated your salvation by simply believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, and you choose to put your faith in Him. Amen? So Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Everyone that ever put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Romans 10 verse 4 that Jesus Christ becomes the end of the law as far as we are concerned. And in Him, the purpose which was designed to be accomplished by the law is fulfilled. That's Romans 4:10. I'm using AMPC. In Christ Jesus, the purpose which the law was designed to accomplish in our lives, we are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And that's why the moment you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer under the law. The Bible said in Romans 6 verse 14 that sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Why? Because you are not under the law, but you are under grace, undeserved, unmerited favor. Amen? That is the purpose of the law, is fulfilled in Him. As the means of righteousness to as many as will put their faith in Him. The law was designed to be a means of righteousness. But the law is holy and the law is pure. But the law cannot bend. The law will say, is either you do it, do good, get good, or do bad, get bad. And it's not about to help you. But grace is a person. He came, Jesus Christ, to help us. And we received that gift, that freedom from Him, forgiveness of sins, and the gift of righteousness. Amen? The law is still relevant today. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, 8 to 10, I will quickly read that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 8 to 10, the Bible said in verse 8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. The law is good. The law is pure. The law is from God. The law, you know, is there to help us. Then that is for those who are not born again. Verse 9 says, knowing this, that the law is not meant for who? For a righteous person. Who are the righteous? If you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said the law is not for you. Amen? That is the infallible word of God. He said, knowing this, that the law is not meant for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers and so on and so forth. And he said, and if that's part of verse 10, I said, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. The law is not for the righteous. When we talk about righteousness, we are not talking about your performance. Our own righteousness, the Bible said, is filthy rag before God. We are talking about the gift of righteousness that we receive by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So only in this gift of righteousness, we shall be established. That's what the Bible said. Only in this gift of righteousness. Does that then mean that we are now free to just go and live anyhow? Remember that sin still has consequences. You understand what I'm saying? If you kill somebody, they're going to lock you up. You understand what I'm saying? Which means you're acting like the unbeliever. If you commit adultery, like I used to use one man's example that I listened to over the television, a pilot. A believer, a family man, just one time, he committed adultery. And then, he didn't know the woman had AIDS. And finally, he didn't have enough faith to believe, to receive his healing. He passed. So he left his wife and his children fatherless. Sin has consequences. But God still loves him, and he will be there in heaven if he's genuinely born again. You understand what I'm saying? So sin still has consequences. But sin will not hinder the love that the Father has for you. If you remember the prodigal son, he will not hinder the love that the Father has for you. But sin will make you timid in receiving from God. And sin will make you suffer one or two things. If you cut yourself, you are the one who is going to bleed. Your parents will help you and clean up and will say sorry. But who is going to suffer the pain? You are the one. So sin has consequences, and God sent Jesus to help us so that we will not be putting our hands in the things that will be causing us harm, because it loves us. Just like we earthly parents, how many things have we told our children? And you know those things are not good for them. And you still see them, they go and do those things, and they are suffering the consequences of those things, and you're feeling sorry for them. You understand what I'm saying? But then, they cause it. You understand what I'm saying? That's what sin does. The sin will never hinder our relationship with God, because the wrath of God is satisfied in Christ Jesus. And we sing it in a song. The wrath of God is satisfied. Is that not what we sing? All the judgment that would have come upon us, Jesus Christ took it upon himself. So that we now became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? So I was saying that only in this gift of righteousness, we shall be established. Isaiah chapter 54. I want you, the primary goal we want today is for you to understand these things so that you begin to enjoy it for yourself. That will be the delight of your Father. When your parents give children something and it's giving them joy, you know how happy you feel. But if it's not benefiting them, it grieves you. That's how it grieves the Father, that he gives us all that we need for life and godliness, and it's not benefiting some of us. He wants us to benefit from what Jesus died to give us. So Isaiah 54 verse 14 says, in righteousness you shall be established, you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Verse 15 says, indeed they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Things still happen. But God is telling you that, no, I'm not the author of evil. When it comes, that's not my design for you. You must have to stand and resist it, because it's not coming from me. All good gifts and perfect gifts, they come from our Father, who is the Father of light. James chapter 1 verse 17. All good gifts and perfect gifts. He's not the author of evil. So, and verse 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall do what? Condemn. Which means, as things are talking to you, every tongue that rises in judgment against you, it can be sickness speaking to you, it can be pain speaking to you, it can be poverty speaking to you, it can be whatever, failure speaking to you. You must open up your mouth and condemn it. The Bible has given you the right. God gave you that right to condemn it. Why do you have that right? Because Jesus Christ is your righteousness. And that's what he said there. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. They are in right standing with me. And therefore, as they open up their mouth and speak and condemn, it says so. So when anything is speaking to you, everything in this life has voice, and they speak. You remember Jesus, when he spoke to the fig tree, he said, and he said to this fig tree, which means the fig tree said something to him. So he answered back to the fig tree, that no one shall eat from you anymore. Amen? So whatever is in your body, in the body of your children, maybe at your jaw, maybe whatever it is, the Bible says you shall condemn whatever it is. If it is not lining up with all the blessing that the Father has designed for you, open up your mouth and condemn it. Amen? Speak what the Father said about it. The Bible said that our faith becomes effective as we begin to acknowledge the things that the Father already did for us in Christ Jesus. You have to open up your mouth and say what the Bible said concerning you, and condemn anything that is not lining up with what the Word said concerning you, because you are a child of God. Amen? So Jesus Christ is our righteousness. It's not our own performance, you see. It is not by our own right living. It is his gift of righteousness to us. So Jesus became our righteousness the moment we put our faith in him. The very moment you say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. The moment you do that, that very moment, moment, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, washes away your sins, and God stamps his image. And that image is the promised Holy Spirit that is a guarantee that you are a child of God. Amen? If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible said there, verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we know we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For he made him, verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we are the righteousness of God in whole in Christ Jesus. So I want you to know that you are righteous. You are righteous. Don't ever look at your performance. You don't perform to become right in right standing with the Father. You perform because of the love that he has for you. Amen? So, he's saying here, you don't look at somebody, look at this one. He say he's born again. Look at what he's doing. It could be ignorance. It could be the person doesn't have proper understanding of who he or she is. So, the best you can do for that person, you uphold that person in prayer, and if you have the privilege and the opportunity of coming around that person to share with the person, you can do so. And that's why God has given us some in the church as teachers, as apostles, as pastors, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's why we keep coming. We keep coming to hear and hear and hear. And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, as we keep on beholding as in a mirror, we don't veil face. The face becomes unveiled the moment you receive Jesus. We are being transformed into his own very image from one level of glory to another level of glory. It's a process like a baby that is born. One day the baby will sit. One day the baby will stand. One day the baby will walk. One day the baby will run. One day the baby will even move out of the house and marry and start raising his or her own home. But it's a process. So you don't condemn yourself because you missed it. You missed it, but Jesus is there to encourage you. My dear, I still love you. Just keep on standing. Don't back out. Don't back down. My righteousness is yours. I've given you the gift of righteousness. You are in right standing with the Father. Amen? So without faith, you can't please God. Because like you said, we appropriate everything by faith. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible said, and it is impossible in NLT. Say, it is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It must do what? Believe that. How do you believe? In other words, you must put your faith in God. Must believe that God exists. And you must believe or put your faith in the fact that God will reward you if you believe that he will reward you. God will heal you if you believe that. God will do this. Whatever it is, you must have to believe. In other words, you must have to agree with God that what he said is true. Amen? James chapter 1, 6 to 8, the Bible said there, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why will he not receive? Because he's doubting. He's wondering. Well, I believe that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. But in your heart you're thinking, I wonder if God will come through for me. I don't know if he will do it for me. But if you know that Jesus is there, do you think Jesus will be there in you and will be tolerating that kind of thing? You know he's in you. That's why we are saying, let Christ dwell in your heart by faith. Whatever he will not tolerate, you don't have to tolerate it. You don't have to. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, 1 John 3, verse 8, that he might destroy the works of darkness. Anything that is not making your joy to be full is a work of darkness. And we are also called for the same purpose, that he might destroy the works of darkness. So you don't have to doubt, because love himself is in you. Jesus is in you. And he will not tolerate it. And so you don't have to. But whatever you allow will be allowed for you. Sickness is not allowed in heaven. Therefore, you must actively fight against it. Poverty is not allowed in heaven. Therefore, you must actively stand and resist it. Don't allow it. Don't tolerate it. The Bible says Jesus became poor so that we through his poverty might be rich. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, I think. He became poor. He left all his glory, all the goodies in heaven, and he came down here just for you and I so that he can dwell in us and begin to exalt his power through us. Amen? James chapter 1 verse 25 says, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, that is obedience to the faith, not obedience by way of performance, obedience by choosing to agree with what the word says, and stick with that, come rain, come sunshine. He shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. We are called to obedience to the faith. Acts chapter 1 verse 5 says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations of his, for his name. It's obedience to the faith, not obedience based on performance. We are called to stand by what the word said, nothing else. And it is important for us to know that because it's obedience to the faith that we are talking about, none of us can take credit for our faith. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. God saved you by his grace. Remember, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So, he did not wait until we became good, acceptable, before he now said he died for us. No, he didn't do that. He said he that did not withhold his son, but delivered him up for us. So how will he not with him also freely give us all things? If God will withhold sickness or provision from you, it means that God values provisions. God values health or sickness or health more than his son. He said he did not withhold his son. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? How will he not also with him, having given him to us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Whatever it is that you're trusting him for. Amen? So, we can't take credit for it. That's what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says. It says, salvation is not a reward. That's Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. I'm using NLT. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. How clearer can it be? Salvation is not just a saving you to become a child of God. Health, provision, protection, deliverance of all kinds, that is salvation. It's not a reward for the good things we have done. That's what the Bible said. It is just God's gift, undeserved, unmerited favor to us. So we have access to all our inheritance in Christ through faith. We have access to whatever it is that God has provided for us, whatever it is that belongs to Jesus, that is now our portion because we have our faith in him. We have access. What is access? You know, when people want to go to, movie or whatever, they have to have access. They have to, you have to purchase a ticket or whatever. That becomes your access into that thing. So that once you show it at the gate, they will let you go in. Jesus Christ is our access to whatever inheritance that the Father has made available to us. Amen? Jesus Christ is our asset. So, Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2 will show us that. Verse 2 says, verse 2, it says, through him, that's Jesus Christ, we also have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. Let me use the NLT. He said, verse 1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, How? By faith. With the men right in God's sight. See, the whole world have been made right in God's sight. But until they receive it, it is not theirs. We too have been made right in God's sight. But we believe. So, that believing is our faith. See, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what? Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. Because of our faith. But you see, the Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, 4 and 5, said that everyone that is born of God overcomes the world. And the victory that has overcome the world is what? What is the victory that has overcome the world? It's our faith. He said, and this is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. That is, what is that our faith? Continuing persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. Continuing persistent faith that Jesus is my righteousness. Continuing persistent faith that Jesus is in me. He is with me. He is for me. Amen? So, with this, Bible said that you are overcomer. You are victorious. You are more than conqueror if you are born of God. And the victory that has overcome the world is that your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ in you is able to do beyond whatever you ask of. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, 20. I'm going to use AMP, Amplified. Ephesians 3, 20. He said, now, to him who by, in consequence of the action of his power. Remember, I hope we are looking at what we are saying. Now, to him who by, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Think of it. Think of this. How is this able to happen? He said, in the consequence of the action of his power. Is his power in you? If you have received Jesus, you have received his power in you. The Bible said, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, if you don't belong to him. That's Romans 8 verse 9b. In consequence of the action of his power, Holy Ghost power in you. The Bible said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the Holy Ghost came upon, the Holy Spirit entered you the moment you received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And then you now get filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work in you, is able to carry out his purpose. God is able to carry out his purpose. What is that his purpose? What is that his purpose? For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest. To do what? To destroy the works of darkness. Anything that is not giving you joy. If Jesus said that I came that you might have life and have it to the full, till it does what? Till it overflows. Anything that is limiting your joy is one of the purposes for which the Son of God was made manifest. And you must cooperate with him to stand to resist whatever it is. Don't give it in. Don't be passive about it. Because it is not your portion. Amen? So he said, now to him who by, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Think of what you've been asking God for. It looks like it's mountains, or mountable. Think of it. And he's telling you that by that
power that is at work in you, that God is able to handle whatever it is. So, but is that your experience? Is that your experience? That's why we're saying that we want Christ to dwell in our heart through faith.
If you look at verse 19 of the same Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says that you may really come to know practically through experience, not head knowledge. That you may really come, that is the design of your Father. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses man knowledge without experience. I mean, if you're sick and you say sickness, I curse you to your root, get out of my body in Jesus' name. And you get healed. Your joy is full. Say, Father, I thank you. And there is a need. If you read the story of Jesus, all that he did, the apostles, whatever need shows up, they deal with it. Whatever need shows up, they deal with it because the power is in him. The power is in you, child of God. He's in you. Amen? So he's saying, which far surpasses man knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. God wants you to become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. And the Bible says that Christ is in you. God is in Christ. Colossians chapter 1, if you begin to read, I think everyone says 17, 18, 19, or thereabout. God is in Christ and Christ is in you. Amen? So, he wants your whole body to be fully flooded with God himself, which means whatever shows up, you nip it on the bud. Whatever shows up, you nip it on the bud. That is, it becomes an experiential knowledge. And the Bible made us to understand that the realization of this comes by you believing the power. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Is that not what the Bible says? 1 John 4:4. You are of God and have overcome them, whatever it is. Because the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But the experiential part of it is what we need. And this only comes through, you have to believe that Christ is in you. And you have to believe that God loves you. And if the Bible said about Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter, let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15 says that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. I'm using an NLT, my dear. NLT. He said Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Christ is supreme over all creation. He existed before all things. Verse 16 says, for through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. Jesus Christ in you. God created everything through him. And then verse 17 says, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. He is the one that holds your life together. The Bible said that Christ is our life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Christ is our life. The Bible said in Acts chapter 17, I think verse 28, in him we live and move and have our being. He's our life. He's our all in all. So he said he existed before anything and he holds all creation together. 18, Christ is also the head of the church. And who is the church? You and I. Amen? Is there anywhere you go and your head doesn't go with you? I'm asking you. Your head. Did you leave your head at home? So you came with your head. Amen? So, we are members of the body of Christ. I think either Ephesians 4:30 or Galatians 4:30. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. If I'm a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, and he's my head, you think I came here without him? Do you think you came here without him if you are born again? He's here with you. So, he said he's the head of the church. He said Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all, who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. Christ is the first in everything, and things begin to fall apart,
when you don't recognize him as the first in everything concerning your life, as the first in everything concerning your business, as the first in everything concerning your health, as the first in everything concerning whatever it is you're doing, he has to remain the first, because that's the position that God has put him. The Bible said that God has lifted him up and given him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every other name must have to bow. That's the position the Father gave to him. Then verse 8:19 says, for God in all his fullness was pleased to do what? To live in Christ. So if God lives in Christ, and Christ lives in you, where is God? He's in me. He's in you. Amen? If God lives in Christ, and Christ lives in you, then God is in you, and Christ also is in you. You see the song that the Igbo say, Onya papa na agwa kana odo odin do, which means don't touch it. You know, is it a title? Is it, if it's, whether it's alive or dead, don't ever touch it. Because it can do so much harm. And Jesus is the real lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? Verse 20 says, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of what? Of Christ's blood on the cross. God made peace with you and I simply by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary for us. Then said, this includes you who were once far away from God. So it includes you and I. And then verse 22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. So because he's in you, God is in you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are constantly in God's presence 24/7. But you have to understand this and believe it, agree with it. That is that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that he will make his home in you. He will resonate in your heart and look, I'm not a normal person. Everywhere you find yourself, you know that you're a carrier of God. The Bible says we are the home of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I think verse 17 says we are joined spirit with him and that we are the temple of him. Amen? So he said in that verse 22, as a result, he has brought us into his own presence, and you are holy and what? You are holy and what? Blameless. As you stand before him without a single fault. You might have performed bad this morning, but as far as God is concerned, you are blameless. Because when he looks at you, he's simply looking at Jesus, his beloved son. Amen? He's not looking at your performance. You are the only one who is looking at your performance. And that's why he told us in Hebrews chapter 10, I think verse 22 or 23, that we should be righteousness conscious. In other words, we should do away with sin consciousness. You can imagine what happens when you, as a parent, your children come to you and every time they are hiding because of maybe one thing or the other they have done. They are never bold to come to you. At a point, you begin to feel it. You will not be happy. You want your children to come out, embrace you, be happy that you're home. You understand what I'm saying? God wants us to do away with sin consciousness because Jesus already satisfied the wrath of God. You only perform well just simply to honor him, but you are not performing well for you to be accepted by him. Jesus already made peace between you and the Father. And the Father accepts you, approves of you simply because of Jesus. Amen? And then, so if you look at verse 27, and this time is wrong. If you look at verse 27, okay, let me start from verse 24. Okay, verse 23. He said, but you must continue to do what? You must continue to do what? You must continue to do what? Look at it. To believe this truth. You must continue to believe that you are blameless before the Father, even when you have not performed right. You must continue to believe that you are accepted in the beloved. You must continue to believe that Christ is in you, that Jesus is in you, that God is in you. You must continue to believe that you are loved by the Father, that before the Father you are blameless. You must continue to believe the power that resides in you. Verse 24 says,
I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the suffering of Christ that continues for his body, the church. For God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. Then verse 26, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. It has been revealed to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why verse 27, let's read together verse 27. NLT, verse 27, ready, go. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret, Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. It is the Christ that lives in you that gives you the assurance of every now and then saying, wow, to God be the glory. And then the pastor says, oh, to God be the glory. And then you are healed, oh, to God be the glory. And then there is need and it's made, oh, to God be the glory. Sharing in his glory, it is simply by Christ in you. But he must have to dwell there by faith. Just as you believe he's the Son of God and you give his life to you, to him, you must also believe that he's indwelling you, that the power of God is residing on the inside of you, that you are never alone, that you have all that pertains to life and godliness. You must have to agree with the Father. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Paul said in verse 29, he said, that's why I walk and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me, so that, verse 28, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. When your relationship to Christ is perfect, then you have so much peace. It's a process though, but the more you get to know him, the more you get to understand the power that is at work in you, the more you get to understand who you are in Christ, the more you get to understand that you're loved by the Father, anything that shows up, you're able to say, hey, you, out. I mean, you're able to deal with issues. You know that nothing is a big deal. We say we are God, we have a big God. And that big God is in you. You're a carrier of God. You're a carrier of dynamo power that can, you know, handle any issue, any situation in life. Amen? So, we receive by faith, not by performance. But this faith works through love. Amen? The faith works through how? The faith works through how? Okay, Galatians chapter 5 to 6 says, it is not by law, it's not by performance, but it is by faith that we receive. And then, that this faith has to walk through love. What is that love? Is this your love for the Father or the love of the Father for you? Which one of the two? By understanding that you are loved by the Father. It's not by your love for the Father. It's by the love of the Father for you. You see why that Ephesians 3 is saying that we have to grow deeply rooted in the love that the Father has for us. This faith works. I mean, when you know that your Father has your back covered, when you're walking, you're making inyanga, because you know that your Father has your back covered. That whatever shows up, you have the backing of your Father. Whatever shows up, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So you're not afraid. Amen? The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, 1 John 4, 18, it said, there is no fear in love. That is, dread does not exist. I'm using AMP, Amplified. So there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear. Because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment, that has forgotten that the judgment has already been taken care of by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ bore all our judgment. Is not perfect in love. Has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. You see it written there? That's a AMP, Amplified. He said, it's not perfect in love, has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. So,
when the Bible said, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is 1 John 2:15. The love of the Father, not the love for the Father. It means that if you love the world, in other words, still doing things, still hustling over things, still trying to perform, still trying to do based on your own head knowledge, and not choosing to stick with what the word said, to go the route of God, to believe that you can make it. It means that you don't understand the love that the Father has for you. So like we said, this faith is not our faith. The basis of faith is the word of God. But the faith that we are talking about is not our own faith. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Amplified, 2 Peter 1, 1, I will read. It says, Simon Peter, a bond servant, an apostle, special messenger, personally chosen representative of Jesus Christ. Let's read what follows. To those who have received and possess by God's will a precious faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So the faith that we have is the faith of the Son of God. It's not our own faith. You understand? It is the faith of the... So Simon Peter, he said, look at all that he did. But he said, you obtain this like precious faith. How? How do you obtain this like precious faith? Through by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have received the gift of righteousness, you have received the faith of the Son of God. Because the basis of faith is what? Is the word of God. If the Bible doesn't say it, you can't believe it. Do you understand? If the Bible does not say it and you say, I believe this, it's not going to work. You know, when the Bible says, whatever you bind in on earth shall be bound in heaven, you say, whatever has already been bound in heaven, you have to also bind it here. Whatever has already been loosed in heaven, you have to also lose it here. If you follow the Greek version of it, the original version of it. In other words, you have to walk in alignment with what heaven has already ordained. So he's saying that you receive your faith by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't, the Bible said, how then would they hear unless somebody teaches them? And the Bible began to say that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You must have heard about Jesus Christ. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, please let's quickly turn to it. Ephesians 1 13, can you please help me to put it up in New King James Version? Ephesians 1 13, look, let's read it together. In him you also trusted. When did you trust him? After you heard the word of truth. What is that word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see what he's saying? You must have heard the good news about Jesus Christ. That's why you can't say that an infant that you did a water baptism is born again. No. You must have to hear this good news. And then you choose to believe. And then you choose to put your faith in him. That's when you receive the promised Holy Spirit. Amen? So, the promise, and remember where we read in Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14, verse 14 says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, the faith we are talking about is a gift. It comes from, by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, you must have heard about Jesus and you believe, and then you are saved. In the same manner, we must understand that this faith, the foundation of it is the word of God. If the word does not cover it, you can't have faith for it. And that is why faith is a gift from God. Faith is the faith of the Son of God. I'm just trying to put it in a way that you will understand it. It is your faith, which means it is you agreeing with God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 in Amplified, AMPC, please. Hebrews 11 verse 1. So, but we all agree that the basis of faith is the word of God, because at least the Bible said in Romans 10, 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, which means if you're not hearing the word of God, faith is not going to build up. It's not the God kind of faith. It won't be the God kind of faith. Let's look at that. Now, AMPC, please. Do you have it? Okay, you don't have. Okay, now let's see what it's saying. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And of course, we know that the word of God is not revealed to the senses. The word of God is spirit. Anything that is spirit is not revealed to the senses. The Bible said, you know, John 6:3, the word is spirit. Is that not what the Bible said? So the word is not, it's not something you can see physically. That's what it means. But you have to believe it. So he said that faith is your title deed. But that faith is your agreeing with what the word said. If the word does not say it, faith will not come. And that's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing that you keep hearing the word, you keep hearing. That's why we keep on encouraging people, come. And so the Bible says you should not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You have to keep on hearing so that your faith will be, so that you come, I've been hearing this, so it dawned on me that this is right. And then you pew in, and then you receive your miracle. Amen? So that is why it is not our faith, because it has to be, if it's based on the word of God, and remember, faith came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that brought faith to us. In other words, when you believe in him, if he's not there, it has to be by law, right? In the Old Testament, it is do good and get good. But the moment Jesus showed up, and the Bible said, if you believe in Jesus Christ, then it shall be unto you. Amen? So, we look at Galatians chapter 3:23. The Bible said, before the way of, I'm reading NLT, before the way of faith in Christ was available to us. So the way of faith became available to us in who? In Christ Jesus. So without Jesus, there's nothing like faith. It has to be by performance. It has to be by law. He said, before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. That's why the law is still relevant to the lawless. Because if you remove the law, people will just be breaking into people's houses and stealing anyhow. But because of that law, they are kind of restrained. You understand? But you that has the spirit of Christ in you, you know to do better. You even do beyond the law. You don't need the law to be put on your face before you know what is right, because you have the spirit of Christ in you, the spirit of excellence in you. So before the way of faith in Christ was made available, said the law, we were placed under the law, under guard by the law. Verse 25 says, and now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. That's verse 25. We no longer need the law as our guardian. We need the, that's why the Bible said in Romans 8 verse 14, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We are now led by the Spirit of God. It says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Then if we look at Galatians chapter 5, we see by, you know, that when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive faith. Because you heard the word of God and you believed. You heard about Jesus and you believed. So you receive faith. And that's why the Bible said in Galatians chapter 5, if you begin to read verse 22, it said, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And one of the things that it produces is faithfulness. So faithfulness is not from you. It is produced, it's a fruit of the Spirit. In some portions of the Bible, like in King James Version, it's called faith. Faith, the basis of faith is the word of God, and faith came by Jesus Christ. So that's why you know it's not your faith. So you must understand that you have faith already. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you believe in Jesus, you have faith already. But you now have to believe, that you have to agree that this is that what the word said about me is true. You have to agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that is in you, that all that he has is yours. You have to agree. And that agreement only comes as you keep hearing and hearing and hearing. Then it begins to dawn on you. Wow, this thing is true. And then you agree. And not that They say, yes, I agree. But in your heart, you're thinking. You're wondering. And that's why the Bible says, let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. God wants you to just simply say amen to whatever he says. Because all the promises of God, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, all the promises of God are what? In Christ. Yes. Which means whatever you want, so long as it's in Christ, it's covered by the word. God already put yes there. In other words, it's yours. It's yours. This one is yours. Provision is yours. Health, it is yours. But then you have to say amen, which means you have to believe, which means you have to put faith to it. You have to appropriate it. Just like the Bible said, God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. And then you put your faith in it. In other words, you say, yes, I agree. You said amen to it, and it became yours. And those that have not said amen to it, like those who are not still born again, it's not yet their own. They have to appropriate it by faith. Everything that God gave us is by grace, that we receive it by faith. Amen? So if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. And we have already read it here that it has to come by, you know, and after you have heard the gospel and you choose to believe, then the Bible said you receive the gift of righteousness. Amen. Now, you know, let's look at Romans chapter 11, 8 verse 11. I'm going to read it in AMPC because they don't have it. Romans 8, 11. Remember what I said, that God told me that as you keep on hearing the word of God, a lot of things will be happening in you. And that's just the truth about it. And I can see that. I mean, I can perceive strongly that a lot of things are happening in the lives of many of us here. I can perceive it strongly because God is faithful to his word. So Romans 8:11 AMPC says, and if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, shortly perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I want you to get it. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is residing inside of you. The same power, not another, is residing inside of you. And the Bible said that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak in tongues, they shall lay hands on the sick, they recover. They lay hands on the sick. Those that believe, lay hands on the sick. What about those ones that believe? How would their own issues be handled? Because there's a power that is at work in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That power is working 24/7. Whether you're sleeping or you're awake, whether you're in the restroom, you're at work, whether you are shopping, wherever you are, there's a power that is working boom, 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 boom. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He's supplying life to every dead areas of your life. Say, quickening your mortal body. Which one is your mortal body? This is your mortal body. Because if this body packs up, you have no use here to God nor to man. Are you? You are not. I mean, if you're on your sick bed, you can't be of help to your family. You can't be of help to anybody. So it is important to the Father that you be well and alive. So there's a power that is in you. If that power raised Jesus that was dead, how about you that is still alive? That power is working, but Christ must have to dwell in your heart by faith. You must have to believe these things. It must have to be, you have to have that inward assurance that this power is really working in me. So that whatever shows up, you know that that power is handling it. So that you don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be fearful. Remember we said that fear shows that you don't have perfect understanding of the love that the Father has for you. That he has your back covered. So you must understand that there's a power at work in you. And the same power, when somebody is sick and requests for you to pray for them, put your hand. It is that power that will transfer through you to touch the life of that person. That same power that is working for your own good will also be a blessing. So the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Only those that believe. Amen?
If you look at Ephesians chapter 3 again, let's look at that, our theme. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, through your agreeing with what the Bible already said about it. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love. But it comes by you understanding that there's a power that is at work in you. And then you will be able to come to the full realization of, you know, all that is in God, that is also in you. That's verse 19. Where he's saying, lower part of it, he says, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your life. The richest experience. The richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. You see, let me begin from verse 19 again. And that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses man's knowledge without experience. God wants it to be an experiential thing, not a head knowledge. All that is in God. He wants it to be oozing out through you. And the Bible made us to understand, even Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, 23, he said that if any person really loves me, that if any person really believes in me, he said, he will keep my word. In other words, he will agree in me. He will believe in me. He will agree that I'm the Son of God, that I died for his sin. He said, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, abode, special dwelling place with him. And when he died and he resurrected, as many as have believed in him, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 13, verse 5, he said, I'll read the portion that I just want to, you know, okay, let me just start from the beginning. Hebrews chapter 13 from verse 5 says, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. In other words, don't fret, don't worry, don't be anxious about this. Don't begin to do like the people of the world. Know that I, God, that be part of it, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you. Amen? I will not in any way do what? Fail you. This is assurance from the Father because he's with you and he knows everything about you. He that created ears, will he not hear? He that created eyes, will he not see? He understands. So he said, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. This is the promise of the Father. This is what he promised. He said he will never leave us. And that's why Jesus said, if you believe in me, I and my Father will come and make our home in you. So you must allow Christ to dwell in you by faith. Believe that he's there in you. And he's all that you need. We sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All on the ground is singing. They say, you know, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, Lord, and righteousness. He's our all in all. Amen? And then verse 6 says, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Whatever situation, what can he do to me when the Lord is for me? And then verse 7 says, remember your leaders and superiors in authority, for it was they who brought you to the word of God. Observe attentively and consider their manner of living, the outcome of their well-spent lives, and imitate their faith, their conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ, and their leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Jesus Christ the same, the Messiah is always the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever to the ages. Jesus said it.
if anyone will believe and obey me, I and my Father will come and dwell in them. And the Father said, I will not in any way leave you nor forsake you. He said, assuredly not. He said, so we can boldly and confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not be seized with alarm. God is with you, child of God, 24/7. Whatever shows up, God will show up. But you have to believe, you have to agree that as the Bible said concerning you, so it is. And you don't have to be afraid because it is true. Amen. Christ is our life. He's our head because he's the head of the church. The Bible said we are seated together with him in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not just in this age, but also in that which is to come. That's what the Bible said about Jesus. Where is Jesus Christ seated? At the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says that we too, we are seated together with him in the heavenly places, far above all these powers. Is that all what the Bible said? So if you are seated far above sickness, you are seated far above poverty, you are seated far above whatever name you can name, you have to live in the consciousness of your sitting position in Christ. Live in the consciousness of who you are in Christ. You should have that sitting position. What does that sitting position mean? Rest. Rest in his faithfulness. Rest in what the word said about you. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't let anything worry you. Because he has your back covered. Don't be conscious of sin, but be conscious of your righteousness standing with the Father. Whatever happens, remind yourself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Because he's in me, there is a hope that in this situation, I will give glory to God. Because he's in me, there's a hope that in this particular situation, I will give glory to God. Whatever it is, because Christ is in me, God will surely be glorified in this matter. Whatever shows up, God will show up. Because it is the desire of the Father that God be glorified through you. Remember what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Can we have that in New King James Version? 2 Corinthians 2, 14. New King James Version, do you have it? Okay, let's read it. Now, let's read it together. Ready? Go. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us, who does what? What does the word always mean? What does it mean? So, no matter what shows up, be it in your business, be it in your life, be it in your marriage, be it in your children, be it whatever it is, the Bible said, now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. The triumph is simply because you are in Christ. And through us, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Whatever shows up and God is glorified, people say, wow, to God be the glory. I have said they are Christians. Oh, me, I think I have to go and become that thing. Oh, the thing is working for them. God will diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every place through you. The child of God, let Christ dwell in your heart through faith. Agree that he's in you. He is in you in his power. He's in you in his might. He's in you in his full regalia. But until you agree, settled in your heart that that's so, the experiential part might not show. But that's a different ballgame today. Today we are going to start walking in agreement with the Father. That what God said about us is true. Amen? Shall we arise?